If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Chicago Bulls take the court today for the third preseason game against the Milwaukee Bucks. On today's episode, I want to talk about some of the things that the Bulls can tighten up on in this game that have been weaknesses in the last two games, even despite the wins. We're also going to talk about a surprising trade candidate on the Chicago Bulls roster. The other teams could come sniffing around. We'll talk about that, and we're going to dive into the mailbag. All that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And the Chicago Bulls take the court today, but there are some things that I do want to talk about. Now, I know sometimes this can be a little triggering for Bulls fans, more so during the regular season, hopefully over this the preseason that they kind of understand. But when the Bulls are winning and I point out things that they can tighten up on in the past, it's gotten some people a little bit in their feelings, right? Like, are we winning or are we not? But like, do you want to keep winning, right? And so with this being preseason, I think this is the time to tighten up on some things. And there are a couple of things that I really would like to see the Bulls focus on. And number one is turnovers. When you look at the turnovers for the Chicago Bulls, it's been something that it's not just based off this preseason, right? It's something that a lot of you guys have brought up as well. You know, it's been turnovers were a problem for the entirety of the 2024-25 season for the Chicago Bulls. We were in the bottom 10 of turnovers per game at almost 19 turnovers per game. And so we got to just tighten those up, right? And that allows teams to get easy looks. Those are things that help that hurt you getting in the rhythm of your offense. But when you play at the pace that the Bulls play at, turnovers are kind of a natural byproduct of that, right, to a degree. Now, I do think there's a way that you can play fast while still limiting turnovers. And part of that the Chicago Bulls have to do to get that is, I think, attacking the rim. I think that there's something that the Bulls do. I think also in the half court, the Bulls kind of try to make too many thread the needle passes and not enough of the easy passes. And what that does for me is that when you do just make the simple passes, coming off picks, coming off, you know, screens, those type of things, when you do that, like it makes the defense have to move. And that's really what passing is about, right? Passing isn't just about passing to the player so that they can take the shot or the open shot. It's about also how you set that up, right? The pass before the pass. And sometimes the Chicago Bulls team doesn't do that. They try to make too many thread the needle passes, whereas you could have made a subsequent pass, a pass first to then get that guy to move the defense and then get that guy that's cutting or whatever open. And so I just want to see more intentionality for the Bulls behind that, right? I also think some of it as well for the Chicago Bulls is, you know, is sometimes, you know, they pass out of penetration when they do get into the teeth of the defense rather than just attack the rim strong. And that's going to be kind of a theme throughout what we talked about with this team. And they just need to tighten those things up. I think if they do that, that's going to be really, really good, right? So far in preseason, the Bulls have combined for 47 turnovers through the first two preseason games. That's 28th in the league in preseason. Now, it is preseason. They were facing off against the Cleveland Cavaliers. We know how tough that Cavs defense has been, especially we have Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, and even when Lonzo Ball's out there, things like that, Hunter. So they have players that are going to play in those passing lanes. So it is what it is there. So now that we're not playing the same opponent, this is the first time we're playing a different opponent in preseason, right? I just want to see if the Bulls can tighten that up a little bit. How much of it was the defense of the Cleveland Cavaliers? How much of it is kind of the over-gambling by the Chicago Bulls? I think that's something that we have to get off of. Then when you look at the flip side of that as well, the Bulls have also not scored really well on turnovers either. We got to get that together. I think we have to be better at scoring ourselves off turnover, and that's going to be something that also can help this team as well. But we got to get to the teeth of the defense to do that. I think attacking the rim is another thing that can get to there. We know the pace is going to be something that the Bulls use to their advantage. Billy Donovan has talked about it since last season. So I don't expect them to slow down the pace too much, right? But I do think that you can just move with more intentionality in that pace. And then with that, the Bulls, with the pace that they do play at, we got to get to the free throw line more, I would say. And then also, we got to stop teams from getting on the free throw line. So it's both ways on that one, right? The Bulls have had a more physical approach, but so far that more physical approach has led to a lot of foul calls. Right now, we kind of know that Donovan Mitchell and the Cleveland Cavaliers aren't always called the best, right? So there it is. The Cleveland Cavaliers got to the free throw line 32 times in their last preseason game. That's 32 times, right? And then they had 24 free throw attempts in the last game as well. The Bulls got to tighten that up, man. That's 56 free throws that the Bulls have given up over that time period. You got to tighten it up. Yes, you want to play more physical. And I get with playing more physical, much like turnovers are a byproduct sometimes of playing fast, trying to be a more physical team can lead to more foul calls and thus free throws, right? But you got to be more controlled in that. You do not want to flip, because one of the Bulls' problems for the last few seasons, last season not as much, was that the Bulls created a deficit because we weren't taking more threes. The last thing that you want to do now is create a new deficit with teams getting more free throws against you because of the physical nature that you're trying to play with. Again, be physical, but be controlled. Now, you know, some of that's not all in the Bulls' hands, and I understand that. Some of that's going to be based off the officiating crew, how they want to call the game, all that type of stuff. And so, you know, we'll see, but it's just something that if this goes into the season, especially depending on the teams that you're going to play, it could be a little negative there. Now, I want to be clear here. I don't want to see the Bulls stop the physical play. It has been legit. The defense has been legitimate. I just want to see them tighten up and not maybe gamble for reaches as much. Play defense more often with your body, not your hands, right? Of course. Yeah, you don't want to get your hand in the face of a shooter and things like that, but like just kind of be more conscious of that. But again, if this is a byproduct of the Bulls playing more physical, which is the nature that we do need, cool. You know, it is what it is. Now, on the flip side of that, the Bulls attacking the rim, right? The Bulls ranked 29th in free throw attempts last season, and we didn't shoot the ball too well in that either, right? Now, the Bulls have gotten to the free throw line a decent amount of times, shooting 65.6%. We got to get better in that one. That's terrible. Shooting as a team free throw wise, it's not good in any stretch of the imagination. There's no point of getting to the free throw line if you're not going to make the shots, right? So that's something as well that I want to see the Bulls get to. We got to make those free throws, and we'll see. Right now, with that said too, it's not been all bad in preseason, right? I do want to talk about some of the things that have been good right now. The Bulls have been so good at the offensive glass, and that's something that has plagued the Bulls for the last season as well. We ranked towards the bottom of the league in second chance points last season, but we've gotten 18 second chance points in each of the past two games. Now, very different lineups, very different play. It starts getting sloppy. If you notice towards preseason, at least the last two preseason games, gotten real sloppy from both teams over the last part of it. But I think we need to, if we focus on that, and that continues to be a strength for us, especially with our rebounding. That's why having a team full of really good positional rebounders, which we really do. I mean, if you look at our whole projected starting five, they're all really solid positional rebounders. Isaac Okoro may be the weakest rebounder that we have in the projected starting lineup, but even him, he still goes after rebounds. He fights after loose balls, those type of things, right? So I think that's good. The Bulls also have been pretty damn good at sharing the ball. 63 combined assists, you know, so far in preseason. We're only behind the Golden State Warriors in that mark through two preseason games. That could be a definite weapon for the Bulls. Now, that may go down some if we're trying to limit the turnovers, which I said the overpassing can be a thing sometimes. But, you know, I think overall we need to get the turnovers trending down. If we can get the assists to stay close to where they are now with that this team has a really high ceiling offensively, an amazingly high ceiling offensively. And I want to be clear there with the added physicality and just with the improved defense, this is a team that can legitimately, if they can turn their offense from what was a high powered offense to a more efficient offense. And we talked about how the defense for this team does play into the offense for this team and the way they like to play and get out in transition. So those are things to watch as well in this game. Offensive rebounding is good. We were always a good defensive rebounding team. We're attacking the rim a little bit more. We're getting more players involved with the assists, sharing the ball. That's the benefit of having Kobe and Trey and Io. We haven't even had Josh, Trey, and Io. We haven't even had Kobe White out there yet. Once Kobe gets there, you know, that could take it even further. So there are definitely some things that can help this Bulls team and that we can even be better, right? And so that's just what I'm looking for in these preseason games. We'll see how the Bulls come out of it, and hopefully that they come out with improvements, and that's all we can hope for. But With that said, I said we're going to talk about a surprising player that could become a trade candidate for this team. Now, I want to be clear here. In no way am I saying the Bulls are going to get a lot back for this player. But I do think that with your, when you look at teams around the league looking for point guard depth, Javon Carter has been playing excellently well in preseason. Now, the Bulls, many people will remember, the Bulls signed Javon Carter after what was his best statistical year coming off in Milwaukee, where he averaged 8 points, 2.4 assists. He made 1.8 threes a game and shot 42% from the field, right? And then when you go back and look at those numbers, it's still crazy, you know, that I was like, hey, maybe he compete for the starting point guard. But I do think when you look at what he's done so far, right, he's gone in the Bulls' second preseason, he scored 14 points, going 5-7 shooting, 4-5 from deep, right? And while the ball-headed hoe has not made a big impact for the Chicago Bulls team, you can't deny that he's been shooting the ball well. And I think when you look at teams around the league that do need point guard depth, if they decide, for example, I'm just going to use the Houston Rockets here. The Rockets, who have moved the ball pretty well, but they have Reed Shepherd there, right? And I'm not saying that Javon Carter will go there and start, but if you look at it and say, well, we don't really want to spend a lot, but we can have some added depth, could they take a look at Javon Carter? Could the Bulls get a second-round pick for Javon Carter, right? It goes back to kind of what we talked about yesterday as far as finding value in players that you know are not part of your future and then trying to get something back for them. I do think that there's a chance that teams could look around for a veteran point guard presence, and they may look at Javon Carter if he continues to play strong in preseason. Now, that's a big what if. I mean, Russell Westbrook is still out there as a free agent, which the longer that goes, the cheaper that contract's going to get, the closer he's going to be to the vet minimum, right? So, you know, there's that part of it. But Javon has played well. But I think even with that, right, I think you have to be honest in the sense that where's Javon's role here? He's a point guard. One of our deepest positions, Josh Giddey, Trey Jones, that's your starter, that's your backup. Kobe's going to play some point guard minutes. Io's going to play some point guard minutes, right? And that's even if Dalen doesn't play any point guard minutes, if he gets into the rotation. So thus, you know, is Javon Carter, even with how he played, even going to be in the rotation? And that's kind of the way that I'm looking at this, right? This is not about the way I feel about Javon overall as a player. It's just that I don't think that Javon's role on this team and where he's going to be, if that a team comes calling for a second round pick, that you can turn it down. Now, with that said, we know that our boy AK hasn't always valued second round picks the most, right? Like we know that about him. We know that that AK hasn't really looked at second round picks and been like, oh yeah, there's great value in that. But I wonder if that's something that could change for a player like Javon if teams do come calling. And we got to see how he's going to continue to play. Now, some people could say, well, Hayes, if he's good depth, in case of injuries, hell, Kobe's already out with injury, we want to keep a guy like that. And I think that's a fair question as well, right? And that's something that the Bulls may want to review, and they could look at that value this season and say, hey, that's more valuable than a second-round pick. But it is something that I just think you keep an eye out on, because we've seen teams go after he's an expiring, he's a veteran. And if you do have a legitimate star at another position, we've already seen that he can play off stars. That's just my thought process. You guys can let me know how you feel down below. With that said, let's go ahead and get into the voicemails for today, man. This one's from Korn.
What's the good word, kid? Drev, it's your brother Korn, man. Let's get right into this shit like we always do. Hey, man. Y'all know what time it is. Y'all know y'all brother Korn is a prisoner of the motherfucking moment, so I'm going to get right into it. Right the fuck down. Hey, y'all know the two motherfuckers who I've been, you know, advocating for this year, and they've been showing the fuck out. I know it's preseason. It's just preseason, okay? But again, I'm prisoner of the moment. I'm loving every bit of this. Give me my time, okay? My Raiders ain't shit right now, so let me have this, okay? I thank you. But shout out to Matas Vazelis. Drip, I know it's preseason. I know you're like, it's just preseason, but Drip, he's looking the way me and Pat been saying. He's looking the way we've been wanting to look at year two. And Io DeSumo is just the epiphany of a Swiss blade. He's just your everyman. He is a Swiss blade knife, man. He is your everyman. And That's why he's so important when it comes to me for the team. That's why it's just, and I'm going to say it, it's not the bitch mob yet, but yet we will. I'm going to leave it there right now. The bitch mob. Oh, shit. Trey, it's looking nice, y'all. It's looking nice. Like I said, I am excited. I am. Take it with a grain of salt, because right now, like I said, I'm taking everything. I'm like a starving kid right now. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm taking anything right now. Can you understand it? Just understand it. I'm loving every bit of what the Bulls, even the rotations of Billy motherfucking Donovan. God damn it. Even rotations of Billy motherfucking Donovan is looking good to me. God damn it, what's going on? You know, it's just wonderful to see, man. Hey, man, we 2-0. Like I said, it's just preseason, so I'm going to take it, but I'm going to love this moment. I'm going to cherish this motherfucking moment, because God damn it, I don't have too many moments this goddamn sports year. But all right, C-Red Nation, King Drip, you already know. Love you, bro. Peace, blessings.
Modest looked good in the first game, but I think we got to be clear, Korn, he didn't look as good in the second game. Now, he didn't look terrible either, but he didn't look as good in the second game. And I do think we saw the Cavs kind of change the way that they defended Modest as well to try to keep the ball out of his hands. Now, that's all a good thing, too. I want to be clear there. And with what we know about Modest Bouzelis, you know, I think there's a good thought process there that he's going to try to learn off that. If teams are going to try to keep the ball out of his hands, I think that Modest is going to learn, all right, let me move off ball. Let me try to get the ball back, right? So that's really good. Io is looking like a player that's going to have a six-man-of-the-year type impact on this team. Now, notice I did not say that he's going to be in contention for six-man-of-the-year, because I think when you look at six-man-of-the-year, those usually come from winning teams. I don't know if the Bulls are going to win at the level to warrant that, but that doesn't mean he can't have that style of impact for this team, if that makes sense. I said it a lot last year. At the start of the season, until he got hurt, most of our best lineups included Io DeSumo. And that is exactly what you want from a six man as well. If he can come in and play with a multitude of different looks and different players and have a positive impact, that's really going to be good for it. And overall, to your point, the bench looks really promising for the Bulls so far. It's preseason. We got to see how it's going to play out in the regular season. We got to see who's going to win out that 10th man role. But things are looking really positive right now for the Chicago Bulls on that bench unit. And it's looking like a plus for the Chicago Bulls, absolutely, Korn. So let's see if the team can continue to work that in, if that continues to be a positive for us, and if it goes into the regular season. Because if it does, hey, this is going to be a fun team to watch. All right, with that said, let's go into the next voicemail, man. He didn't leave his name. This one's from the 973.
Hey, man, what's up, Hayes? Big time fan of the show. Big time fan of Chicago Bulls. I just want to come on here and talk about, you know, Coby White and Josh Giddey. I honestly don't understand why people want to trade Coby White away. Second half of the season last year, they finally got the keys to the offense, basically, and they started going off. If I'm correct, I'm pretty sure they went 15-5 after the All-Star break. I'm not 100% sure. So I just don't understand why people don't want to see a young backcourt duo have a full season together. And people are saying, like, you know, Kobe's trade value is high now. We could trade him. I mean, if you've been a Bulls fan the past 10 years, we never trade our stars at the highest value. It's just we just don't do it. So I don't understand why people are expecting them to do that with Coby White. We didn't do it with DeMar. We didn't do it with Booch, and we didn't do it with Zach. We didn't do it with Lonzo either. So honestly, if you're thinking about having the highest trade value, why not think about him having a full season as the guy? And if he resigns with us, I mean, and they go off, I don't see the issue here. People got to have faith in the young core. You wanted a rebuild. The rebuild is here, man. They're still trying to win. That's the thing. It's rebuilding, but they're still trying to win. I don't think people understand that. You've got to have faith in your team. Let them rock. Let the young Bulls do what they got to do, man. That's the future.
Why do people want to trade Coby White? I think it's a few theories behind that, right? You, of course, have your Bulls fans that look at things and say, and they'll say this about every player. Oh, they're not a star. We should trade them. We should maximize value and we should trade them. not really looking at, is the value going to be there? Are they going to be willing to give up a lot for a player that has to go through unrestricted free agency next year? All those type of things. There's that part of it. And then you have the fans that look at it and they just want the Bulls to just stack. They want the Bulls to tank. And if because the Bulls aren't really looking to tank, they keep thinking of moves that are basically tank moves. I don't see the Bulls giving up a player that scored 20 points per game when you need a score, and that's going to be your number one score this year. I don't see them doing that. And so I get why the talk is there conversationally, but I don't think that that's what the Bulls are going to look for. And then, of course, you have the mindset, too, of fans that are like, well, he could walk for nothing. Let's trade him because he could walk for nothing, which, again, from a risk tolerance standpoint, I kind of understand that, too, right? But ultimately, I do think Kobe's going to be here. He's going to be in a Bulls uniform, and I think he's going to have a really good season. I really do think Kobe, like, hearing the things, if what Kobe said is true, as far as learning to be a better off-ball player, you know, wanting to shoot 40% from three, those type of things are there. And if he can do those things, that backcourt of him and Josh Giddey is going to look pretty damn good together, at least in my opinion. But all right, let's get into the next voicemail, man. This one's from Shay.
What's up, Hayes? Look, I know this is only preseason, but I believe this. We're going to have a hard time scoring, especially if Kobe White doesn't come back towards the first game of the season. We're going to have to score by committee. And even if he does, we're going to have a little bit of a tough time scoring. So my thing is, I believe we should let our offense, our defense, dictate our offense. If we could just get out and run. I mean, yeah, we do a good job of getting out and running, but I believe that we do force a lot of turnovers. If we just go to the basket, because it don't make no sense to make this fast running style play if we're not getting to the basket. Because us just coming out shooting threes when, a lot, to be honest, that's not a lot of their games on the team, it really does defeat the purpose of the style that we're trying to play. So what I believe is we need to be getting to the hole. And a lot of guys like Patrick Williams, if you know your jump shot isn't scoring consistent, yeah, you do a good job of getting out and running, but go to the hole because let's face it, when you get a steal, nobody is basically there. And I believe that, you know, us getting turnovers and going to the hole a lot more often than not, it'll make our offense run a lot smoother. I know I've been preaching this a lot, but I believe that if we do that, we will be all right. Anyway, tell me what you think.
Got to attack the basket in transition. Like, I say this, and, you know, this is really a simple basketball. You got to attack the paint. And what that does is that, A, it makes the defense collapse if anybody is ahead of you. It then also gets open three-point shot for the trailer, because you're going to have a trailer, especially with the speed that we play in. I just don't get the running in transition, stopping and shooting a three, and you didn't have to do that, right? And I just hope that the Bulls do that. Like, teams are going to play you for the drive, and you got to use that to your advantage, and I think that can go away as well in helping this team kind of limit those turnovers as well. Getting to the free throw, it helps with a lot of things that the Bulls get that can make the Bulls' offense more efficient, and I hope to see them do that more often. All right, let's get into the next voicemail, man. This one's from Reginald.
Hey, this is Reginald. I just want to say the Bulls did a good job improving somewhat on the turnovers that they committed from the other night against the Cavs. And I want to say that the only thing that really concerns me is this team's willingness, or, you know, I guess say, they're purposely passing up on shots to the basket to shoot the three. And I know what all the analytics say that, the three-point shot is more important. But as far as I'm concerned, if you attack the rim, you put the defense on the heels. You get to the foul line. You put guys in foul trouble. Like, when you're going up against a Giannis, or Wemby, or Kawhi, or whoever, getting them in foul trouble might be the only way to win the game. And you're not going to do that by taking a bunch of threes. So when I hope, you know, Billy will make some watch film and say, look, we're not going to, when you're on the fast break, don't stop and pull up for three. Attack the rim, dunk it, you know, use two hands. I know it's obvious for some people, but this is just traditional basketball. This is stuff you learn in high school, or even younger than that. Like, you take up the highs, the percentage side is far more important than, you know, taking a 28-foot-3 or 25-foot-3. Like, that 3-foot shot is, I'm not going to say it's a guarantee, because we saw what happened with Patrick Williams in the air ball layup. I hope you talk about that. But hopefully guys like Io, Kobe, and Trey Jones make them see that attack of the rim is the best thing to do. And that's all I really want to talk about. Well, what do you think? Do you think the Bulls are going to be more focused on attacking the rim during the season? Or are they still going to, you know, try to jack up over 45 three-pointers a game? What's your opinion? Thanks.
Much like I said with the Trey, you attack the damn basket, bro. Like it's simple. Like, you either get an easy shot at the rim, you'll get to the free throw line, or you can collapse the defense and get an open shot at the three-point line for one of the trailers. That's it. And I think when it comes down to, people just don't value traditional basketball anymore. Like, I think that that's just, some of the things that, like, we were taught as just, that just are basketball things, I don't know if they're even taught as much anymore, right? Like, the teams just don't play to that as much anymore. We can tighten that up for sure. We can get that together for sure. Hopefully the Bulls do that, man. If they do, things go in the right direction for this team. So let's hope that that's going to be in the pipeline for this team sooner rather than later. All right, let's get into the last voicemail for today, man. This one's from the 301.
Hey, this is Duncan. I have two questions for you. During the preseason games against Cleveland, the Bulls in the middle of the game played quite a few possessions on defense, where they fronted the guy trying to get the inbound pass. It made it hard on Cleveland to get the ball in out of bounds like the ball. And they also played a part the whole way up the court, making it hard on them to get past half court out of the defense call. And made me wonder, well, they didn't have any turnovers. They did talk a lot of time on the shot clock. They made a lot less time for them to get into the offense. It made me wonder, why don't the Bulls play that way every possession defensively for a full 48 minutes? I know it makes guys tired quicker, but we have a pretty deep bench, and guys could go in for a couple minutes if needed to give one main rotation player's breathing. I'm sure there's a reason. Because I don't know if any NBA team plays full defense like that for a full 48 minutes. I just don't know what that reason is. Second question. Billy Donovan talks about running a 10-man rotation. And you've talked many times, you know who nine of those rotation players are going to be. I think the 10th man is going to change from game to game, depending on who they're playing and what they need out of that 10th man. But if the starting five plays roughly 32 minutes, Io at the sixth man plays roughly 32 minutes, your other three rotation players play roughly 16 minutes, one of those players is going to have to give up minutes, one or four of those players will have to give up minutes. So the 10th man has any minutes to play. And I was just wondering who you thought out of those nine players, who's going to have to give up minutes for the 10th man.
All right, let me just say this. So I cleaned up the audio as best as I can. Please do not call when you're in the car, either on speakerphone or with headphones, because all we heard is background wind. Now, I was able to make out enough of it to where I have a good response for you, but just as an FYI there. But with that said, I think when you talk about the minutes, Billy Donovan had talked about not playing players over 28, 29 minutes. And if you do that, I think that opens up for the 10-man rotation. But let's be clear. I do think that I do think Kobe and Josh Giddey, there's going to be players that get at least 30 minutes. But we had several players averaging over 30 minutes per game, but we still had players coming off the bench averaging 18 and 20. So I think there are going to be plenty of minutes to go around. I do think Billy Donovan talking about going 10 deep more consistently is a thing, but it doesn't mean you're going to do that every game, right? And so it's going to be that thing. And that's why I always say the 10th man isn't going to have necessarily, like the average of minutes may average out to be like 12, 15 minutes, but there are going to be some guys where the 10th guy maybe plays 8 minutes, maybe plays 9 minutes. Some games where they play 15 or 16 minutes, right? So it's going to average out well. And I think the balance is going to be there because we need all those guys. We're using the pace. I think that, you know, the varying different styles that we can throw at teams, the different looks we can throw out, all that type of stuff is going to be things that we can use to our advantage. And I hope that Billy Donovan and this coaching staff are really looking at that because it could definitely help. So I agree with you. I think the balance is going to be a thing. But like in preseason, it's different because so many guys play. Once the regular season starts, it's going to be interesting to see that balance of the rotation. And I can't wait to see that. But that's my time for today, guys, at least for now. I will be back for the pregame show, the live call, and the postgame shows tonight for the game. So make sure you guys stay in tune with us for that. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. And lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything basketball related, everything Chicago Bulls related, I should say. And that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I liked in every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.